afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're in an interesting place today. We're in a bar. A bar. Yeah, we're in a bar. Actually, we're in Charleston today. This is so much fun. Having this set up to go and do, you know, last weekend I was over at the National Wild Turkey Federation. And this week I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. It is the weekend for the fly fishing film tour here in Charleston. I'm at Low Country Fly Shop in Mount Pleasant. If you're around, if you happen to hear this signal or know somebody's down here, tell them to stop in. We're going to have oysters are going in the back right now. And we got fly fishing stuff to talk about in the meantime. So welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and we'll be going at it for the next hour. Wow, let's see. You know, for a few months now, a couple of months now, I've been needing to wrap up some things. The Southeastern High School bass class we did in Anderson was great. Can't say enough about Visit Anderson, Neil Paul, Terry at the Anderson Civic Center, Marty Walker at Palmetto Boat Center. You know, we had speakers, Ott Defoe, Chris Lane was there. Gerald Swindle did our keynote address to the kids on Friday night, did just an incredible job. Had Justin Lucas came in. Brian Latimer was there, did great PowerPoint on color. Paul Geddes was there doing a Lowrance seminar. Shimano came out with one of their set teams, had just tons of rods and reels for the kids to play with and throw. And I've been meaning to talk about it for a few weeks now, but just haven't had time, so I'm going to start off talking about that. It was a great time. Had about 200 kids show up, which is not bad for the first year. We're going to expand that. We're also doing it this year. We'll be December the 15th and 16th. It's a Friday and Saturday. We may even have, whoopsie, I forgot my train of thought here. We are working with Shimano because Shimano actually does in part of their high school and college outreach program, they do a, kind of almost like a career expo on how to be involved in the fishing industry. Yeah, not everyone is going to make the big time FLW Bass Elite. But how to stay involved in the industry, whether you're working as a sales rep, if you're, you know, in one of these corporations, fishing industry wide. And so we're actually going to try. We've talked with Shimano already, and we're going to be working on that to kind of fold that over into what we do for the weekend. So again, thanks to all those people. We're going to see some of those guys in Houston in a couple of weeks at the Classic. And if you were a parent who had a kid go to it or a kid that went to it, we appreciate you coming out and taking a chance on us the first year. Just a really, really, really fun time for all of us involved. With that out of the way, let's see. It seems like there's something else I wanted to get out of the way. Oh, okay. Pet peeve time. You ready? It'll be real short, I promise you. Driving down the road the other day, stopped at a stoplight. The driver of the car next to me was on a pad, a mini pad or whatever. The lady in the passenger seat was on a laptop, and the kids were both on their iPhones in the back seat. And I'm like, really? Come on, people. Put the stuff down. I mean, you know, technology, it's great. We couldn't live without it, but there's a time to step away from it. And I love how my daughter approaches this. We went out last night, had a daddy-daughter date. Forgive me for a minute, but I'm just getting to a point. Had a daddy-daughter date last night. She was there. She was thinking about, Daddy, we need to do something with some of my friends from archery this summer. And I think we need to go to the farm and have a camp out. And when they get there, they have to turn their cell phones off and hand them over so they can't play with them while they're there, so they can just enjoy being in the country and all. And I thought, wow, maybe I have done something right. Maybe. Who knows? But anyway, look, it's springtime. But actually, if we're in South Carolina, you're fixing to get a heavy dose of winter. 3 inches in the upstate or something. I mean, it's going to get cold. Winter is, we said, don't rely on some winter being gone a couple weeks ago. So winter's back. But, you know, as the spring goes on and you take time to go and go camping or go hiking or whatever, turn it off. I mean, you may need to have it just in case of emergency. When you're outside, try to take that out of the equation. Just enjoy being out there without the intrusion of all this, you know, social media and stuff like that. But anyway, okay, ran over. Let's do a couple things on the calendar of events. As always, it's brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pine Landing and Event Center. On March the 25th, the South Carolina Wildlife Federation, in association with the U.S. Forest Service, is going to do a burn seminar, the third annual CWE Fire Fest. It's Saturday, 10:30 a.m. at the CWE Visitor Environmental Center. Let's talk about good fire. Bring the family to a free, fun event to find out how control burns are restoring native forests and making local communities safer. See a safe live burn up close. So at 1:15, they're going to do a live burn, weather permitting. Meet Smokey the Bear and Woodsy Owl. They're going to have a bounce house, balloon art, and face painting for the kids. Heritage breeds and useful plants in the Lowcountry, presentation at 10:45. A Red Wolf program at 11:30. Fire ties that bind in the Southland, presentation at 12:30. Sweetgrass basket weaving and sales, food vendors, and more. And you can, thanks to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, Center for Air's Property Preservation, U.S. Endowment for Forestry and Communities, USD Natural Resources Conservation Services, and the Forest Service using U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services, and the Nature Conservancy for putting on this event. So that's, again, it's March the 25th, Saturday, at the CWE Visitor Environmental Center down here at the coast. I get a lot of people asking, hey, where can I go for a wild game dinner? Well, here you go. Living Water Community Church, 9150 Asheville Highway, Bowling Springs, South Carolina, is going to have a wild game dinner Sunday, April the 2nd. Jeff Danker is the, and I heard Jeff speak at Archery Trade Association a couple years ago. Great guy. Adults are $10, under 12 is $5. And, I'm sure they're going to have more food than you can shake a stick at, and you can try pretty much whatever you want to try. Saturday, April the 8th, at the National Wild Turkey Federation Palmetto Shooting Complex, where we were last Saturday, there's the University of South Carolina Aiken Shotgun Team. They're going to have a Spring 2017 Pacer Classic, 100-target sporting clays open. It's $70 shooter. Mulligans are $25 per five. Registration opens 9 to 11 on the 8th. Shooters must be on the course by 11 o'clock, and scorecards must be in by 1:30. Award ceremony at 2, and then a silent auction will open at 9 and close at 2. They got different divisions. Youth boys, 18 and younger. Youth girls, 18 and younger. Men, 19 and older. Women, 19 and older. And they're looking for sponsors. If you want to sponsor this, you can get a hold of them. University of South Carolina Aiken Shotgun Team. Clemson Bass Fishing is having a spring fundraiser tournament. Saturday, April 15th, 2017, it's Lake Hartwell Broyles Landing. Safe light to 3 p.m. Entry is $110. Big fish is included, 75% payout. Oh, and I printed out and it's too low. Yeah, tournament rules. Hey, look, you can go to the Clemson Bass Fishing Team's Facebook page and get all the information there. We worked last fall with the Georgia Ovarian Cancer Alliance. Through Chris Baxter, who is a professional fisherman, mostly BFLs and all, but he is he's one of the main guys down at Zoom Bait Company. We've been down there a couple of times. He's given us tours. It's really depleting these places. But his wife is an ovarian cancer survivor. And a few years ago, they started doing a fishing tournament to benefit the Georgia Ovarian Cancer Alliance. That alliance wants to get bigger. They want to come into South Carolina, kind of be southeast. So this April the 21st is the registration deadline. The tournament's going to be the 28th is registration, 29th is the tournament. It's called the Hooked on Hope Tournament. Entry fee is $150. Big fish pots included in the entry fee, and I think we're going to pay out first five spots from like $2,500 down and then a couple of big fish and all. So we're going to have a website. Stay tuned for more information on that, but keep that date open. That's April 28th and 29th down at Green Pine Landing on Lake Hartwell and Anderson. So hang on through the break. We're going to be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina from Lowcountry Fly Shop in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. What a zoo. We're in a zoo. We're in a bar. Well, it's an old bar. It's I tell Scotty Davis it's got the most atmosphere of any place I've ever been in.
It does.
It does. Well, hey, dude, it's been a while since you've been on the show.
I know. It's good to be back.
It is great.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I don't get to, you know, we thought having a daughter down here in school, I'd be down here like every other weekend.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And your family's growing, too.
Yeah, they are. They're keeping me from traveling, too, so I feel your pain.
Well, we're talking to Scott Davis, who is the owner of Low Country Fly Shop, and has you know, was one of the earliest sponsors of the show back in 2014. And I told him many times, and if he hasn't heard me by now, I really appreciate you getting me started in this venture. It's been fun. I'm glad to finally be down here. I mean, we've wanted to do something like this, and here we are.
Yeah, sitting in an old bar.
Sitting in an old bar. It is. I'm serious. If you come in the front door, the bar is down the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. And it oozes atmosphere. How'd you get into fly fishing?
My grandfather was big into it. Grew up in Columbia in Chapin, Lake Murray, and we went straight from cane poles to fly rods, and we had to learn that before we were allowed to get a Zebco.
Oh, wow.
And then kind of backwards progressed, I guess, from there. Spin fished through middle school and then kind of picked it back up heavy in high school and
never looked back.
Never stopped.
You, when I was getting ready to go to Alaska a few years ago, about 2011, I'm going back this fall, so I may hit you up for some more stuff. You got it up there forever. And people, the reason we're talking about this is when you need a fly shop, you need one that knows what they're talking about. And it doesn't matter from brim fishing to Alaskan salmon to offshore stuff. I mean, Scott knows his stuff, and that's what you want in a fly shop. So when I was getting ready to go to Alaska, I knew Scotty had been up there some, but I didn't realize you got it up there for like 8 or 9 years.
I did. I spent 18 years up there and got it the last 8. So I spent 10 years just kind of goofing off and living in the woods and no wife, no kids. You could do that stuff.
Yeah.
And just really fell in love with it, the simplicity of it. There's really nothing to do but, you know, set up these outpost camps and really just fish all day. And it was, man, it was God's country. I miss it a bunch. But I'm trying to get back this year, too. So.
Tell me, you told me a story one time about a black bear and the Oreo cookies.
Yeah, that bear got into our camp. We were coming back from salmon fishing, and the Oreos were on top of a picnic table. We had built the picnic table, too. And the bear got one Oreo out of the middle stack. There's three stacks. One Oreo out of the middle stack with those dexterous thumbs. And we had to mace that bear the next day because she got a taste of Oreos. She was coming back every single day to get more of them. But that was just amazing that, you know, that bear could have run off with all of them.
Yeah.
He just decided to tear open into the package
right
and
there.
Eat one of our Oreos.
And you told me you felt sorry for Mason the bear.
Yeah, they you know, always carry a gun, but I don't think I could shoot a bear. That's kind of what makes Alaska. Alaska is the bears and the eagles and the weirdos. But
yep.
We had to mace one that was really aggressive, and it just sounded like a little kid running through the woods crying and running into trees, and it was bad. But you know, that bear now associates people with bad things, so it might have saved its life as well.
That's what you want. You don't want to. And you're right, bears and eagles in Alaska, man, just incredible.
Yeah, indeed.
I hope they're still there. I mean, you know, Jordan and I got to watch bears fight in a Russian river. I hope they're still there when we go back this year.
Yeah, they had a big boost in population, so they had open season on them. Any bear without cubs was kind of open season. The moose population hit a really bad hit in the last couple of years because the predator population
was
too high, and you know the moose were suffering, so
I didn't
take them down a peg.
And that's what you want to know when you go to Alaska. You want somebody that's been there and hung out, and man, he tied me up a bunch of flies, and I caught more salmon than I could shake a stick at in like 9 or 10 hours there in 11 days.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine if I fished more than that.
Yeah.
Low Country Fly Shop. Cool place right here in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, we kind of just started it. I'd worked at all the other tackle shops, and the fly sections were always kind of little corners tucked in the back, and, you know, the town needed it, the state needed a good fly shop, and we just really focused on more building more of a community because we had all these kind of misplaced souls, and all these fly fishermen with nowhere to really get stuff or hang out or
right.
like this, sit in an old bar and eat oysters on a Saturday, and you know, do what fly shops should do.
And you got stuff here from Flood Tide Company, which is another local Charleston company. All sorts of clothes, bags, waders. I mean, yes, and fly rods and all. But I mean, the fly tying section is kind of where.
Yeah, that's where we tried to make our mark. Was just have just blow them away with fly tying material and flies, and the tying aspect of it is, I think, something that 90% of fly fishermen will read. So they'll eventually want to tie their own flies, and you know, you just got to have that variety and that. Kill them with inventory.
Yeah, you know, you talk to guys that fly fish, and they're like, they're all into fly fishing, and they're all into catching the first one, and then they're, you know, experimenting a little bit, and then they reach that point, they want to tie their own fly
right.
and catch a fish with their own tied fly.
Right. It's definitely an experience and an accomplishment. Redfish are the perfect fish because they'll eat a ball of yarn, you know. They don't really care what it looks like, but that's the beauty of them, is they're kind of the freshwater brim or the saltwater brim. They'll just eat anything that doesn't scare them.
Charleston's got to be one of the best places for year-round red fishing.
Indeed. If it was better anywhere else, I would leave. I honestly would. We have the great, you know, that really unique high tide grass fishing, you know, with a 6-foot flood tide. A lot of the country only gets a foot of tide,
right.
if that.
Yeah.
So they don't experience that really vast tidal swing. So you get the variety. You get those high tides fishing the grass, the low tides fishing the mud flats. And, you know, it just is. It's, you know, it's not as good. You won't get as many numbers as you do in Louisiana or Texas. But, I mean, this is a lot prettier than those big mud flats, in my opinion. There's no place like Charleston. So.
No, there's not. And it's year-round fishery.
Totally.
I mean, right now, you know, it's cold. Somebody wants to fly fish or redfish, where are they going to go?
Just stay shallow, really. Just in the cold temperature, the water gets real clear. So just stay in a foot of water, stay as shallow as you can in there.
And those mud flats heat up, warm up, those fish get active.
Yeah, the mud retains heat a little bit better than oysters or grass. So that's kind of why they congregate on those big mud flats this time of year.
And then later on, as the water warms up, we talk about those flood tides getting in the grass.
Man.
And that's kind of where it's at. We were talking to a couple of guys in here earlier, and he'd been trout fishing up the mountains a little bit, and he was, oh, I think I want to get involved in saltwater fly fishing. You really don't want to. It's addictive, and you don't have money for it and all. But I told him it's as close to hunting a fish as you can get.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't even feel bad if I don't catch anything, but if I don't get a shot, you know, if I can't track a fish down and stalk a fish, then I'm kind of bummed out. But that's what it's about, is that hunt. That it's just finding them, you know. It's sight fishing. It's unique, and it's addictive, and it's here.
It is here. Yeah. All up and down this area through here.
Yeah.
And that's pretty primarily what you do. It's red fishing, right?
Yeah. I like to brim fish. I still bass fish a good bit. I go to Stripers on the lake.
Yeah, go up to Ellie's place.
Yeah, I hung out with him last weekend. We did really well up there. So, yeah, it's kind of the variety of South Carolinas. We're not far from the mountains.
Right.
We're not far from world-class bass and saltwater. And if I had money for a gas tank, we could go offshore pretty easy. And, you know, there's just so many different things to fish for here, and so much variety that, you know.
What's it take to get involved in fly fishing? I mean, if you just, you know, like the guy that came in here today.
Right.
If he wants to go out here red fishing, what's he got to have?
Well, you got to have obviously a rod and a reel, but you don't have to have a $2,000 setup or even a $1,000 setup. It's kind of like golf. I use that analogy a lot. Like buying a set of big Berthas isn't going to make you a good golfer. You
okay.
know? It's taking yourself to the driving range every day and practicing a little bit. So I think your mental mindset's more important than gear, because, you know, most guys can take a $20 fly rod and throw it just as far as they can an $800 fly rod. And granted, it might break, but it's generally the Indian and not the arrow. You know,
okay.
Most equipment these days is really on par. You know, I would say $200 to $400 would be a perfect starter setup, and that's it. Just learn right. Have somebody that knows how to do it. Teach you how to cast. Don't learn bad techniques, and it's super easy. It's kind of intimidating if you haven't done it before,
yeah.
But it's really... really easy, and it's not much to it. You don't have to lug around a tackle box
for
weights.
You don't. It's amazing how simple you can get with a few flies and a fly rod.
Just a couple of things in your pocket, and you're done, really.
You fish with some good ones. I know I've seen pictures of you with Bob Clouser and all. Who was the most fun to be around?
Michael Keaton had to have been one of my favorites. That guy was amazing. And I don't think he's an actor. He's just that funny.
Always. Really?
He's just that personality. Talked to everybody that recognized him. He wasn't pretentious, you know, like you'd think he'd be. But he's big into it. He's a big Bonefish Harp and Truss supporter. He was a lot of fun. I was really intimidated. You know, he's my childhood Batman, so
sure.
I was kind of freaking out. But he was good. He was really into it. He wanted to learn more. You know, that's just it. You get a world-class angler like that that fishes everywhere, that's fishing somewhere like this. He's never fished. And he just, you know, he fell right into place. Everybody liked him, and he didn't come with any expectations, and he left with a bunch of fish. He did really good. And Clouser was another one. That was like, you know, it's like being a preacher and having Jesus come sit in your pulpit for you. I learned more 20 minutes with him than probably years, you know.
Yeah.
He's a great, great guy, and he's done more to the sport than we'll ever understand.
You know, he was at the expo here, and I interviewed him on the station before that last year, and you know, we were just talking through the conversation, all that, and at the end of the thing, he goes, "Hey, man," he says, "we need to go fishing sometime."
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, heavenly days, and he probably meant it.
He totally meant it. That's why he does it. You know, he's not here to make money. None of us really are. We'd do something else. He's a fisherman through and through. You know, I think when he's 100 years old, somebody will wheel him out on the river and in a wheelchair, and he'll still be doing it.
I wouldn't doubt it.
A true legend.
I wouldn't doubt it. You guide out of here?
We do. Basically, everybody that works here guides.
Okay.
And all of our employees, you know, Matt's pretty specialized. He guided in Idaho, Wyoming, okay. Montana, that area. Eli's guided in Oregon, Washington, California. Obviously, I did Alaska and some of the Bahamas and some of the Northeast. So, yeah, everybody's kind of got their specialty. We all try to kind of learn from each other and just fill all the bases, make sure every corner of the earth is covered.
Got it. How are the oysters coming?
They're ready.
They're ready. All right. Well, thanks, man. Like I said, from the beginning, you were on board, and I really appreciate it all these years later.
My pleasure.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there you go. Get involved in fly fishing. Hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Lee Janik with Clutch Fly Rods when we come back from More Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, it is a mission of mine to make sure that South Carolina companies are highlighted on this show as much as possible. And even though my next guest might not be from around here,
I am now.
He is now. Got to welcome Lee Janik. Thanks for taking time out to be on the show with me. You are Clutch Fly Rods.
Yes, I get that a lot. Thank you very much for having me on the show. For those of you who do not know, Clutch Fly Rods is originally from Ohio. We're about 4 years old, and we have a love for the salt. We were kind of born in the salt and in our destination fishing. And when we decided to do this crazy thing 4 years ago, you know, we were still being pulled to the salt. So once it took off, we decided we should head this way and get out of the snow. So
I was just fixing to ask you, how does a fly rod company based and focused on saltwater start in Ohio? That's got to be a story.
Well, there is a story. And when we first started this whole thing, the one question we would get is, you know, where are you guys out of? And I would say, you know, Tarpon Capital of the World or the Trout Capital of the World. And they say, really, where at? And I say, Cleveland, Ohio. And they look at me kind of weird. The baseline of this was I used to do some tournament distance casting, and that's kind of how I got into the this business. But I fell in love with the Keys about 18 years ago. I took my first trip down for tarpon. You know, it's what you do as a young fly fisherman.
It'll suck you in, won't it?
Yeah, it's what it did. So we took our first trip to the Keys 16, 18 years ago, fell in love with it, and it seemed all the rods at the time. You know, we're trout rods. And
right.
And my whole collection just switched from trout rods to, you know, 10, 11, 12 weights. And we just made pilgrimages every year to the Keys and just fell in love with it. And then obviously we're in Ohio. You know, we love Ohio.
Right.
Ohio's great, born and raised. but I just didn't freshwater fish anymore. If we had a rod in our hand, we had a plane ticket, and we were heading south. So when we got large enough, or luckily to get large enough, and mm-hmm. where we could, you know, pick up roots and kind of move to an area where we could fish more often, where we love, with no snow and no snow shovels. And the happiest day of my life is when I took my 36-inch wide, 12-horsepower, self-drive, you know, double tiller snowblower and just said, first one gets it. You know,
it's free.
My dad called me, he goes, what are you doing? You know, why are you getting, you know, yeah. you know how much that's worth? I said, I don't care. He said, I'll take it. So my dad's got it. So
very cool.
Yeah.
And y'all fish, I mean, man, if you follow Clutch Fly Rods or Lee Janik on either one of the Instagram or Facebook pages, man, he and Ryan Rice, they are zoom all over Charleston fishing.
Yeah, it's
is that okay? Let's frame this. That is product development.
That's well. I'm glad Ryan's not here. Ryan's listening. I joke about it in some of my posts. Actually, if you want to decrease your amount of fishability 10 times over, start a rod company.
Sure.
I used to fish a lot more than we do now, but, you know, it's a labor of love. I'm glad to be in the office. I'm glad to be doing what we're doing. So, you know, it's obviously, you know, satisfying. But on some of my posts, I'll say, you know, I was dragged out of the office today, and people think it's, you know, kind of a play on words or a joke.
It's not.
I will not leave the office. Ryan will call me and go, tomorrow, 10:30, be at my house. We're rolling. I'll say, I can't leave the office. I can't leave. He'll go, what do you have to do? You know, this is done, and he'll go through the list, and he'll say, you need to be in my place at, you know, whatever time, and he actually pulls me out of the office, and we fish. We actually fished this morning, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you know? I saw your little video scooting across.
Yeah, I got out for a couple hours trying to, you know, hit high tide and catch some of the first fish coming in here for the spring, and, you know, big learning curve for me.
Yeah,
for steelhead fishing.
So I'm sure.
I'm like a sponge, but we're happy to be here, and it's a great place. The family's happy. We're happy. You know, we're finally getting settled. We've been down here since August 1.
Yeah.
And the entire area, Charleston, Mount Pleasant, you know, specifically, but South Carolina alone, the community, the fly fishing community, absolutely took us in open arms and made us feel welcome, and it's just been a wonderful feeling.
Good.
You know, we feel like we belong here. We feel like family, and it was a right decision to move here.
Good. We're glad to have you. We're happy you're here. How do you make a fly rod?
How much time do you have?
7 minutes.
Well, I can tell you the way we don't make a fly rod is call overseas and order them.
Okay.
And receive a shipment.
Which is perfect.
Exactly. The long and short of this, and I could talk forever, and I know you don't want that, but our story is kind of strange. I was basically in the construction business. I owned a commercial construction company for a number of years. And you go through that and you look at your future and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to retire at. And you have a plan. And once I got into the tournament casting, I've been fly fishing for about 25 years. But once I started the tournament stuff back in the early 2000s and doing well and being sponsored and whatnot, I saw a shift, and this may ruffle some feathers, but in the way companies were looking at how they go to market and what they're doing with their product, and it became too big of a business for what, you know, this is a touchy-feely sport.
Sure.
You know, people use the term soul and feel, and I hate to beat those terms up, but it's absolutely true. And when you've got a large corporation, there's nothing wrong with that. But you've got a business plan. You may have investors and board of directors and whatnot to answer to. You have to come out with a product that meets, a market demand. I feel they were going more corporate than they should have, but, you know, it is what it is. So I wanted something for myself that met my needs more. So, you know, I'm doing my construction, building my company, doing some tournament stuff, and decided to build a fly rod for myself. So we go out and we talk to graphites manufacturers and rollers and manufacturers and resin guys, and I start this project for me, for my tournament rods, and end up building a 5-weight, and then also built a 9-weight. We tournament cast with our 5-weights, but being a saltwater guy.
You need a stick.
You need a stick to fish with. So there was one 9-weight, traveled to the Keys with it, and lucky enough to have friends that are pretty respectable guides in the Keys, and show up on the boat, and they look at you, and they say, oh, where'd you get that? And they say, I made it. And they look at me and say, we know you. You're not that smart. Where'd you get it? And I said, I made it. So the razzing went on for a little while, and they asked if they can keep the rod. The rod actually got passed around the Florida market for 2 or 3 months. I couldn't even track it down. So the words came back to me, hey, you know, we want more rods. And I said, we have one. So everyone basically browbeat me into making more. So that's how we started this. And it was all trial by fire. I didn't come from the business. You know, I had an engineering background, so I understood mechanics.
Right.
So it was, you know, I guess trial by fire, and was able to translate the engineering, the mechanics into what I wanted the rod to feel like personally, and kind of fill some gaps on what was out there in the market and what was being, I guess, advertised and pushed and marketed. And we were able to do that in my eyes. And now, you know, we're flashing forward 4 years. The fact that I'm sitting here talking to you, living in South Carolina, construction company has been sold. This is all in. You know, and we're making it work, and we're growing daily, and we're in 9 or 10 countries now. Maybe, yeah, about that.
Wow.
And yeah, we're not stopping. And I pinch myself every day. It's not easy. You know, it's still a company. You have all the problems that go with it. You know, I wear 15 hats, and, you know, you mentioned Ryan mm-hmm. Rice earlier. You know, he's been a godsend, you know, coming in and taking over a lot of the management for me. But, you know, I wake up every morning, I look at this, and I almost feel bad saying,
I have to go to work today.
I have to go to work. You know, I build fly rods for a living. And it's humbling, and it's, you know, it's just a fantastic experience. And, you know, it was by chance. But here we are, and we're apparently doing something right because we're growing. And, you know, it's a snowball running downhill, so to speak.
We got a couple minutes to a break, but we're not near far enough along. You want to hang on through the break?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we got a couple minutes before we get the break. But you mentioned you can't just call overseas.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can.
You can.
But we don't.
You can, but not you. So how do you come up with, I mean, you talked about resin guys and rollers and all that. So do you make the blanks?
Yes.
All your own?
Yes.
So you take the resins and all that in your facility, and you make a 9-foot, 8-weight blank?
Absolutely. It's all proprietary. It's my blanks. No one else can get their hands on them.
That's incredible.
I look back on it, and today, if I knew what it took to do this, I'm not sure I would have done it. You know?
But it's a progression. You just got into it.
It's all heart when you start. And you take a step that direction because you believe in it. And the learning curve and the money and the investment. And it's an uphill battle. You know, some of the guys that might be listening that, you know, do what we do, you know, are probably shaking their heads. Yeah. You know, and you know, and I look back, I look on, you know, the big companies out there, you know, the Sages, the TNTs, the Scotts, you know, they did all this before social media, you know.
Oop. Hang on. There's the break. You can hang on, right?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll go to break. Come back. I want to hear you talk to Lee Janik just a little bit more about clutch fly rods. Woods and Water, South Carolina. Sitting across the bar from Lee Janik, which is, I know my mom is at home shaking her head. My son's in a bar. I'm sorry, Mom. I know you're listening, but it's all good. We're in a fly fishing shop. You know, we were talking before the break, Lee, about, you know, you can go overseas and get a rod, but you do the whole thing here. 8-weight redfish rod.
Okay.
Tell us about an 8-weight clutch redfish rod.
clutch redfish rod. Well, what we, when we first started this, people said, what are your rods going to retail for? And I told them, and they said, there's no way. There's no way you're going to compete on that high level. The problem is, in order to compete on that high level, you need to do it in the U.S. because of the costs. Anyone can grab a checkbook that has enough money in it, call overseas, say, you know, I need a catalog. I want, you know, 9-foot fast action red, this, and order up, a warehouse full of rods. But that's the problem. Everyone can do that. And the only difference there being is the rods are different color, different labels. That's not what I was after. I wanted a true different feeling product. So you have to start from, like we discussed before, from ground zero and work from there. So a lot of what we do, by looking at, you know, our product line, we'll tell you the tale. We don't do the standard. We come out with a new line of X rods or XYZ or whatever you want to call them. And we have a 1-weight through a 13-weight because all those tapers are designed on a manual that has a similar taper. And you'll hear guys saying, well, I like such and such company's XYZ rods. The 7-weight is a sweetheart and the 9-weight's a sweetheart. 6 is, and you'll get that with everybody. Okay. I'm not picking on one specific manufacturer. And if I did it that way, we'd have the same thing. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to design fish or fishing or situational specific rods. So when we first start our saltwater rods, you know, you're saying redfish, which is our Archipelago line. It actually started with the TTX, which is no longer around, but the Archipelagos, when we really started figuring out, you know, we're onto something, we knew what we were doing, we had an 8, 9, 10. That's all I was going to do. Saltwater 8, 9, 10, we're fine. And then those got out in the market, and the tarpon guys say, hey, I threw your 10-weight for permit. I need a tarpon ride. Do you make an 11? And I said no enough times where I looked myself in the mirror and said, why am I saying no? So we make an 11-weight, and then that happens with a 7-weight for the redfish guys, okay, you know, here, you know, in the south. So the Archipelago line actually stretched out, being a saltwater line, because a lot of the similar needs in that rod or in the saltwater rod, you know, can move across redfish, bonefish, you know, permit.
Trout.
Exactly. So, but then what we did was we took it one step further with the species specific. I was called out of the blue a year and a half ago from the streamer guys in Michigan, and they said, hey, we're throwing triple articulated 9-inch, big streamers on sink tips for monster trout. We need a rod that's, you know, no longer than this, no shorter than this. We want these attributes. So we designed that rod. And it's called the React. We make two rods. It's an 8-foot, 1-inch, one piece, 250-grain model and a 350-grain model designed for sink tips.
Sure.
We have two models. That's it. So that's a specifically designed rod. Okay. We do the same thing with our muskies. We have the muskie guys come to us. Discussed it with some of the best muskie guys on the planet. What do you want? They told us. We built it. They approved. Tannic 350, Tannic 450. Specific. That's to the extent of those lines.
Okay.
So our muskie rod, two models. Our streamer rod, two models. Our saltwater rods ended up, you know, starting at three models, but then kind of grew because of the want and the needs. Then the trout guys started talking to us, which is a whole nother story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I grew up in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. I mean, that's where we cut our teeth, you know, dry flies and just, you know, that's how I started. So there's still that love, you know, for that fishery. So when we were able to start designing trout rods, I had the same philosophy. So we made a 4, 5, and a 6. That's it. So instead of coming out and saying, you know, this is the new clutch XYZ model, 1 through 12.
Right.
By a 1-weight if you're trout fishing, or a 7-weight if you're redfish fishing, a 12-weight tarp fishing, it's not going to be the perfect rod. It'll get the job done. Sure. And in some cases it might line up to where it is the perfect rod, but that's it. You know, you go to an 8 and it's not going to fit. So we look at it a little bit differently. I would rather have more models of specific tapered rods than large lines of general
Sure.
You know, general rod, so to speak. So,
and a person who wants that rod, it's right there. They don't have to choose between three different lines. They got one line, three models, boom, there your rod.
Exactly. So if you look through our website or our catalogs or whatnot, you know, and we label it that way. You know, if you're doing this, this is the rod for you. You know, and if you're doing this, this is the rod for you. You know, and we're going to continue to, you know, work down that road. We're working on some one-piece trout rods right now for the guys out west.
Okay.
Since the four-piecers have just been taken off. Absolutely fantastic. Once the guys found out we had the nine weights in the trout rods, the natural progression was, you know, do you have a ten
sure.
footer?
Sure.
Okay. You need to make a 10-footer. So without getting too crazy, mm-hmm. you know, we're looking at, you know, at the market and what it's going to bear. So, you know, we have four, five, and six in the trout in a 9-foot. Now we have a 4, 5, and a 6 in the trout in a 10-foot. But there's, you know, species specific and, you know, dialed into that task.
There is a question I have had forever that I have never been able to get a good answer to.
Uh-oh, I'll try.
You ready? Is there a difference in a 3 or 4-piece rod and a 1-piece rod?
Absolutely.
Okay. What is the difference then?
Everything. The only... I've got to be careful what I say because sometimes I'm too honest. If you do not have to travel for your fishery,
one-piece rods.
You should be fishing one-piece rods. Period. They are lighter. They're stronger. They're smoother. Start to finish, pick an attribute, and it's better.
Okay.
It just is. You know, there's no ferrules, you know, where, you know, a lot of the failures happen, which also reduces weight. We can design that blank to have a smoother transition or taper or action because we don't have the ferrule stiffness
sure.
to mm-hmm. deal with,
mm-hmm.
You know, which we deal with it on 4-piece rods because we have to. But when we design our 1-piecers, in fact, I haven't looked at everyone lately, but if you look through our offerings, we have quite a few 1-piece rods. In fact, we were approached by Silver Kings this year, so we're sponsoring the 2018 season.
Cool.
And when I talked to Nikki over there, you know, it was big love fest. You know, you love me, I love mm-hmm. you, and all, you know, and we love the show, we follow it. I was happy to be talking to those guys in general. But he said, this is going to be great. We're going to put this together, but there's one deciding factor that's going to make this work or not work. And I said, what's that? And he said, do you have a one-piece rod? And I got a big smile on my face. I said, do we have a one-piece rod? Let me show you what we've got. So if you do not have to travel for your fishery, the one-piece rod's the way to go. You know, it's what I carry. It's what I fish locally. But it's just start to finish, tip to butt. You know, it's the way to go.
Very cool.
Yeah. And you know, talking about the rest of our rods in reference to, you know, you've got the design, how we approach it, you know, what our taper philosophy is. You know, you pick up one of our rods from cork to the reel seats to the componentry. You can't put a better component on a rod. They don't make them. So from, you know, people say, what makes your rod better than this or better than that? And you can look at it quantitatively and say, well, better guys, better cork, but when you pick one up, you know, we joke around with what's called the O face. And when you make that first stroke, everyone does it. They go, oh. And then, you know, we tell them they're gonna do it ahead of time. They say, no, I won't. And then they do it, and then we kind of chuckle. And but it's cool, yeah. So, you know, we get to play the one-piece stuff, and you know, without having a lot of people to please as a smaller company,
right.
We have boards of directors and bottom lines.
Right.
We all have bottom lines, but, you know, we can go right, we can go left, we can stop, we can do whatever we want to, which makes it pretty cool. You know, we've stopped projects on the board to do something else off of a phone call, you know, and those rods have become our best sellers. And it just, you know, someone will put an idea in my head, which is probably the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
Say, what about?
Give an engineer an idea and he's going to run with it.
Yeah. And we're lucky that way. By the way, we're structured. We can have a lot of fun with it.
Very good.
Yeah, we're just lucky.
Well, how do they find you? Clutch Fly Rods. How do they find you on the website?
www.clutchflyrods.com. And we've got Facebook page, Clutch Fly Rods. You can follow me personally, Lee Janik, and Clutch Fly Rods also on Instagram. So.
Well, Ben, I appreciate you coming in finally.
Absolutely.
I met you at ICAST a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And been trying to work this out, and I knew y'all were moving, and I said, well, I'll get them moved in down there, and we'll get them all, and this just is perfect.
No, it's been fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, and,
yeah.
We love it down here. It's been great to us, me, the business, and my family.
Well, you know, normally we say people from Ohio have to get a permit and then have to go back, but, you know, you bring, just like any foreign country accepting people in, you bring a good product with you, and we'll take you.
Thank you very, very much. We're happy to be here.
Very good. Lee Janik with Clutch Fly Rods. Appreciate being here. It's amazing how quick time flies. We're here. The Fly Fishing Film Tour is in town. If you're interested in going around Charleston, it's tonight. There's a showing in Charlotte on March 16th, Atlanta, Georgia on the 16th. Let's see. I don't think anybody's driving to Provo, Utah to be in one. And that's, my goodness, Okotie, South Carolina, March 25th. They're going to have a showing. And the Fly Fishing Film Tour is simply that. It's just 10 to 12, 15-minute films on fly fishing. So if you like fly fishing, you know, it's no secret I do. And you need to check it out. It's the Costa Yeti Sims Fly Fishing Film Tour 2017. Again, appreciate you tuning in and listening. Couldn't do it without my listeners. And next week I'll be back in town. After that, I'll be in Houston, Texas for the Bassmaster Classic. So, as always, make time to get out there. Take a back road when you can. And don't forget that camera. See you next week on More Woods and Water, South Carolina.